CliffCentral.com. Future CEOs on CliffCentral.com.
Good afternoon, everybody. I'm so happy to be here. My name is Hlubi Mboya-Arnold, and welcome to Future CEOs. It's been one hell of a week, Africa. It's been one hell of a week, South Africa. But here on Future CEOs, we're here to block out that noise, as my esteemed guest so told me today. We're here just to have our eyes on the prize and motivate and inspire and catalyze entrepreneurial spirit in our country. As we all know, the entrepreneurial spirit is the one that really is the bloodline of our economy. And without any further ado, you know, future CEOs out there, that I love having powerful women on studio. It's not enough just to be a woman of success. You have to be a woman of value to be on this show with me one-on-one today. Gareth Armstrong, sorry for you. You're missing out on a fantastic conversation. We have women who are leaders. We have women who are the change makers of society. And without any further ado, I have to, with all due respect, introduce the CEO of WDB Investment Holdings, Faith Kanyela. Sis Faith, thank you for allowing us to interview you. I know you have a busy schedule. Welcome to Future CEOs.
Thank you, Hlubi. I'm excited to be here. Wow, the energy in the studio is amazing. So I'm very, very happy. Thank you.
It's
Thank
so
you.
Special that it's just woman on woman. You know what? We've had a lot of women on the show. We've had a lot of women who possess the vision that you possess, and that's why we have them. You know, you can have the money, you can have the wealth, you can have the status, but it's about bringing change and being a change agent, and that being a purpose-driven life.
Yes.
Tell me about you and your purpose-driven life.
Sure, what a long journey, Hlubi. What I do right now, maybe to start with what I do right now.
Correct.
So basically, I run an organization called WDB, or Women's Development Bank. And really, our purpose is to drive the empowerment of women in South Africa. So we wake up in the morning, and all we want to do, Hlubi, is make a difference. We want to see how we can touch the poorest and the most vulnerable women in rural areas by providing finance to them. So this is really what I do every day.
It really is truly grassroots.
Yes, it's grassroots women, Hlubi.
And WDB is an all-women team.
We are.
Tell us more about that.
So our history, maybe a little bit. So WDB, 25 years old, started in 1991, really with this vision of making a difference in South Africa. You know, after our democracy in 1994, we specifically black women and, you know, I guess women in general in South Africa were at the bottom of the ladder. We wanted to change that, Hlubi. We wanted to demonstrate that women from all walks of life, from humble beginnings, can do something for themselves. So when we started, we said, we want the team to be all women. We want the team from the top, from our chairperson and trustees, to the managers, to the support staff. We wanted women to do it for themselves. And Hlubi, today we believe that we've gone quite far to achieving our mission.
Impact investors. Let's take it back, Sis Faith, because being an entrepreneur is a journey. And sometimes it's a lonely journey. And sometimes it's long, dark hours. And sometimes there's a lot of doubt and a lot of questioning your value and your belief in yourself. You've come a long way. And that's what I love about you, is that you've paid your dues.
Yes.
Let's take it back to before Standard Bank.
Okay.
To before the finance. How did you grow up? Tell us your childhood.
Hlubi, I grew up in a rural KZN village.
Sure.
We were six in my family. I'm the second born. And yes, very, very, you know, humble beginnings. My parents ran a general shop in the community. So I was exposed at quite a very early stage to business, but also to the importance of giving back to community, giving back to people. So, I mean, I think in my family, even though we were six, I mean, we always had probably 10 or more children from my cousins, extended family living in our households, because we were relatively better off, Shubi, compared to the, you know, to the rest of the community. So, I mean, I learned very early on then, Shubi, that it's very important to give, to share when you have. Mm-hmm. But on top of that, Shubi, I think my parents emphasized the importance of education. So in the village where I grew up, we did not have the best schools. So when it was time for me and also my siblings to, you know, to go to high school, we had to leave the home. So I left when I was 13 years old. Mm. I went to a boarding school at Ohlange High School. And then, you know, I was very, I guess because of the home where I came from, where education really came first, where, you know, and so it was irrespective of whether you were a boy or a girl. So there's three boys and three girls in my family. So, but the importance of education and the encouragement from my parents for both boys and girls
equal,
I think really spearheaded me. So when I was in high school, I worked hard. I was fortunate also that, you know, I was, I guess, gifted. I was one of the top students. But I think, you know, I believed that I could be anything that I wanted to be. But where did that come from, Shubi? It came from the home. So, and both my, you know, both my parents, not educated, Shubi, you know.
Mm.
So, again, very, very humble beginnings.
Mm.
But I think they, I don't know where they got the wisdom from to really make sure that both their, you know, their children, both girls and boys, were educated. And they sacrificed quite a lot to send us, you know, through to universities as well. I was fortunate, though, to get a scholarship to go to America, to study in America.
What a privilege. And you know what? I read that you decided that, yes, all the overseas and Ivy League, you know, education, but you wanted to bring back home. You wanted to make a difference.
Yes.
And as future CEOs, I always ask my guests, it's about empowering yourself.
Yes.
So whether it's through formal institutions, whether it's going to conferences, whether it's going to lectures, whether it's reading books, school is never out for the professional.
Yes.
Always have a teachable spirit. Besides from obviously financing these rural women, WDB, I know that mentorship is a big thing, and also creating spaces that they can grow as businesswomen. What tools are you upskilling these rural women with besides, you know, finance and policies that can help them grow their businesses?
Shubi, what we are imparting to these women, I think you mentioned that earlier, is really the power of self. You know what I mean? Because deep down, we all have got desires, we all have got gifts, we all have got assets, whatever you want to call them. And I think the challenge for all of us, you know, women, our clients, but for all of us as humans, is to dig deep and to actually find that specialness, that gift that we all have got inside.
And reach that full potential.
So this is really what, I think this is what we assist with, women that we work with, because they've got ambitions. They've got small businesses that they want to run, or they want to start a small business. So in addition to providing the funding, but it's really about providing the mentoring,
the holistic,
the coaching, the holistic, and also to assist these women to work within their communities, because we all know that alone, you're not going to achieve much. But when you work with others, when you collaborate, when you do your business as part of your community and give back to your community, there's so much more that you can achieve. So those are some of the, I guess, soft skills that we provide, you know, besides the finance.
We always talk about on Future CEOs, the sweet spots of hard lessons, because failure is the true trampoline to being successful.
Yes.
you deal with a lot of women who have their own baggage.
Yes.
I know it's a blessing to be an all-woman team, but that yes. also has its downsides.
Yes.
Share with us, and we love stories on the show, share with us an experience that was a light bulb moment in the end, but it was blood, sweat, and tears, a lot of tears in the process. And we love being real on the show.
Yes. I think probably, Subi, maybe let me just go back to the times when we actually started WTP. Because we started with nothing, Subi. So we had no capital backers, because I guess, you know, we were these black women that... you know, we were armed maybe with, you know, certificates, MBA certificates, but we did not have experience. But also, you know, I guess we were limited, so to speak, by, you know, our gender and by the color of our skin. So I remember one, the first investment that we did, I'm not going to mention which investment it was. So, you know, it was time to, you know, to negotiate the transaction. And to make sure that also the transaction gave us the role and responsibility that we felt as an investor and as an equal partner as well, that we could be given that equal participation in the investment. We started to experience, you know, sexism, you know, from our partners in the potential investment. And basically, Subi, we were just treated like nothing. So, you know, we're just given, okay, WTP, you're getting 5%. And, you know, we're given the agreements sort of like 48 hours before, and we had to sign those agreements. So I think, you know...
A little bit of sabotage there.
Sabotage, but also just, you know... People trying to belittle you.
Correct.
People trying to humiliate you.
Demoralize.
Demoralizing you. And, you know, just trying to discount whatever else you're bringing to the table. So I think those are, I mean, those are, that's one example that I can remember where one really had to then dig deeper to say, you know what, you may come to me, you may have your own views about, you know, who I am and what value I bring to the table, but I know who I am. I know what, you know, I'm capable of. I know the value that I bring. So, you know what I mean? So I think the mental strength and also the, I think it's the mental strength, but also it's really knowing what you stand for and who you are helped me to go through that to go through that process.
It tests the spirit.
Yes, it does.
And it tests character. You wanted to make more than just money, and I said that in the beginning. When was that switch point whereby you've been in corporate for so long, you've ticked all the boxes, you are a family woman now, kids down the line, a couple of kids down the line, you've established your name, you've earned your position. When did you make the move from corporate to entrepreneur? Legendary entrepreneur, excuse me, everybody. Legendary entrepreneur.
Subi, you're correct. You know, 12 years in one of the leading banks in South Africa, holding a good position. And 3.5 years ago, I decided to move, Subi. I decided to move because...
Because we're so scared of the comfort zone, of the safety net, and all the rumors and the myths of doing your own thing.
Yes.
And creating your own business.
Yeah, exactly. And also, to your point, walking away from, you know, decent cash, but also, I mean, being, you know, sort of like... defined by your status. So those are some of the things that, you know, I had to overcome. But anyway, Subi, then I, 3.5 years ago, I decided that I will go back to entrepreneurship, i.e. go back to WTP, because I had been involved with them since the founding of the investment company.
Founder now and CEO, basically.
Yes,
okay,
exactly.
And let's talk, after you answer it, let's just talk about the different roles that you've played from founder to CEO afterwards. That's a very interesting. Okay, you were saying, the jump.
Yes, so the jump. So why the jump? I think after, you know, 12 years there, traveling the world, making a lot of money.
But the good life.
The good life. Deep down inside, I wasn't fulfilled, you know. I was doing billion-dollar deals, but deep down, I felt like I was not making a difference. I felt like I was not touching, you know, whatever the outcome, I wasn't touching it. I wasn't feeling it, so to
speak. Do you believe, and just on the flip side of that, because the other people sitting on the other side of the fence who started off making the difference, being the difference makers, and they're like, but there's no money. So there's always that karmatic, you know, yin-yang.
Yes.
Do you believe for those people that the money will come? Make us believe.
Okay. Subi, and I think this is for me, and it's a life, and it's a journey, Subi. It doesn't just, you have to be constantly asking yourself the why. Like, why are you doing what you're doing? Because I think for me, you know, the process that I had to go through, I think it took me a year, Subi, to finally decide that I'm actually leaving this cushy job and I'm going to follow my heart. Okay, so I just want to put that across, because it's not like, you know,
you wake up in the night.
Exactly, it's a process. It's a constantly asking yourself the why. So I think, Subi, I really believe this. I think that if you start as an entrepreneur or as a person, if you start your whatever your objectives that you have, if you start with the why am I doing this, the profit will come. The making of the money will come. And the why, Subi, cannot be about you. The why cannot be about, I want the, you know, the C-suite
corner office.
I want to make a 40% profit margin. I want to milk those consumers dry. It can be, you know, it has to start with, I want to make a difference in your life. I mean, some of the companies, Subi, that really for me speaks to that is the like of Discovery. What is Discovery's why? Discovery's why is they want to make people healthier. What is the WDP why? Our why is we want to promote the economic empowerment of women. What is the why of Facebook? They want to connect people. You understand, Subi? I'm not saying that you must not have a business plan.
Of course. I'm not the saying profits, that, you know, yeah, elements.
But, you know, but that really, I mean, I think the why or the purpose grounds you. But also, you know, when you are down, when challenges come, because challenges will come to me. You know, the why, the purpose really, you know, I don't know, encourages you to wake up. Dust yourself.
Correct.
And move forward. You know, but if your driver is sort of like,
money.
Oh, okay, money, position, status, life can be very, very unhappy if that's what really your core reason for existence.
From founder to CEO, let's talk about those roles a little bit. How have they changed? Are they still similar? What is a typical day and what was a typical day from founder to CEO? Or is there much?
No, you know what, Subi? Because, I mean, I think as founder, it was really starting a business from nothing. You know, working from the back of a garage with my colleague, Tanya Slabert.
Is that your roots?
Yes.
I love it.
Yes, this is where we come from. I mean, we were working, you know, from Tanya's back garage. We had no money. I was seconded from a company that I used to work for, you know, because they believed in our dream. This is where we come from, Subi. But now, 12 years or 13 years later, you know, now I'm back as the CEO. Life is a little bit different.
Life is good. Don't be shy on the show,
yes,
please.
Yeah. Life is good, but it's hard work.
I know.
So, I mean, you were asking me what my day involves. So my day involves interacting with people, building relationships, inspiring my team, strengthening whatever the networks that I need and
love
all
it.
Entrepreneurs need to be successful.
Yes.
To your point, so, you know, thinking about self-development, you know, reading.
Self-mastery.
You know, Subi, I mean, I, and I know you want me to be real here, you know, I spend, you know, the first thing that I do in the morning, Hlubi, is center myself, do some meditation, connect to the higher power, and ask that higher power to help guide me during the day. Because, Hlubi, you can't, again, and it's not about religion. It's about understanding that you need to draw
energy,
positive energy. Yeah, yeah. So, you know, this is what I do, Hlubi. And then, you know, I psych myself up, because you have to psych yourself up. It's not easy.
Put the God gloves on.
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah.
Psych yourself
absolutely.
Up. Get out there, face the world with a, you know, a straight and happy face. As much straight and happy face as you can.
Let's talk about leadership.
Yeah.
Let's talk about leadership characteristics that make you successful.
Okay.
And as a black woman, we want to thrive. We don't want to survive. Okay.
Yes.
So give us three leadership characteristics that make for a successful entrepreneur.
Hlubi, I think you have to have a drive and passion. You know, so for me, that is the first one. You really have to love what you do. Okay? And I think maybe, you know, I know you asked for three, but I think, Hlubi, this continuous learning loop. And also, you have to be uncomfortable and read outside of your comfort zone. You know what I mean? If you are in the healthcare sector, you can't just always, you know, you read the financial mail and all you look for is articles, for example, on the healthcare sector. You really have to broaden yourself.
Correct.
You have to understand the legislation. You have to understand regulations. You have to understand the you know, your competitors, you know, the landscape. You need to know, you know, what influences your environment and be on top of it. You know, so I think those are the key things that, you know, you really need to be on top of.
What's the difference and what makes a good entrepreneur great and what makes a great entrepreneur great? Difference between good and great.
I think what makes a good entrepreneur great is really the... it's the desire, it's the passion, it's the drive. You know, Hlubi, these things are hard to pinpoint because it's deeper than just, you know, saying, okay, you've got the best product, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
It really comes from within. It has to be something that is within you, that is driving you every day to make a difference. It really has. If you are going to be great, it can't be just about you and making a lot of profit from your customers. It's about saying, what can I share with my customers? You know, you have to have this shared value mentality for you to be a great entrepreneur.
I can't believe we're almost out of time. So wrapping this up, I'm going to pretend I am that. There's no pretense. I am. That entrepreneur with big dreams, but I feel like I'm stuck in a bit of a moat of a plateau in my business. Small as it is, I believe I am making a difference. What keeps you inspired? You know, we're living, this week has been brutal.
Yes.
You know, we're feeling unmotivated. We're feeling somber. We're feeling that there's no hope, especially for SMEs. And what's beautiful is that my next esteemed guest, we're just going to talk about the life and plight of SMEs in this country.
Mm.
What can you tell us to keep us inspired as SMEs?
Hlubi, I think SMEs have to embrace discomfort. They have to understand that for them to graduate to the next level, because no one wants to stay an SME, Hlubi.
I know.
You want to graduate to being,
I know,
you know, a medium-sized business and eventually a large business can create jobs, that can make a difference in society. But for you to do that, Hlubi, you really have to do things that are uncomfortable. You have to reach out to people that can also help you to get to the next level. You have to broaden your network. You really have to get out of your shell. You really have to get out there. You need to find the forums, because there are so many forums that are supporting entrepreneurs in various industries and sectors. So it's about finding those forums, finding also mentors that can help you, because the only way for anyone, including entrepreneurs and people, to get to the next level, Subi, is to be, uncomfortable and to embrace and be comfortable in the uncomfortable. That's really what I think is the secret, Subi.
Last question. And so far, you've just been absolutely, I've got goosebumps because of your presence. I love this. This is my final question, and I love this question. Looking back, you're going back, Siskanyisile, to the 21, Siskanyisile. What would you say to yourself at 21?
Okay.
Mama Faith. So, what advice would you give to yourself at 21-year-old Faith?
I would say to myself, be courageous. Be fearless.
Mm.
Do not care what people say about you. Believe in your inner power and fly.
That was the beautiful, valuable, successful, impressionable Faith Kanyile, CEO of WDB Investment Holdings. We like to call them impact investors. And in your words, I quote you, Mumphreys, you need to have in order to give. Thank you so much for spending that really, really quick half hour with us. Hopefully you left a great footprint and imprint on future CEOs out there. Next up, we'll be talking about what's going on in our political and economic structures to help our SSMEs reach their full potential right here on Future CEOs. Don't go away.
Thank you, Subi.
Future CEOs on CliffCentral.com. CliffCentral.com.